Does excellence matter to God?
Yes.
Thank you. Is he concerned with our quality? What do you think? Survey, how many think excellent really does matter to God? Okay, some of you. Or, you know, so if we come in and the instruments are out of tune and Jason's not singing very well, how many say, well, you know, it's a right heart. That, you know, it's intention that makes it wonderful to God. How many think that's it? It's more about the heart than the performance. You know what? Both the answers are partially correct. Well, I've also learned that means both are partially incorrect also. You know, when we look at that and we step back, I believe God's primary concern is the condition of our heart. That he wants us to come here and freely and openly worship him and honor him and serve him and love him. But I also know that the way we serve him, the way we go about honoring him is through actions. And if we do it with excellence, it will demonstrate what's inside our heart. And if we half-heartedly go about things in serving God, he's probably going, you know, you really don't care about me. If the worship team did not come in early and they're like, it's just church. We're just honoring God. Do you think God will be honored? Or to go, well, it doesn't matter if we sound good. Long enough we try hard. It doesn't matter. Well, yeah, it does. Excellence matters to God, and it matters to him a whole lot. It matters to him in the element of we can demonstrate to the world how much we love God through how excellent we do things, how we live our life, how God is honored in our home, how God's honored in our workplace, how God is honored in our service of God here at the church. I tell you, last week, Terry West stole one of my illustrations. He stood right here, and he stole it from Haiti. Yeah, you laugh, because now I don't have it. When Solonique said, we have to have the best, because it's for God, everybody on that bus went, ouch. Because we all thought the same thing. We're thinking, man, where can we get a used one at? Sure, we could go tear down something and make one out of whatever we have. It's good enough. It'd work. And suddenly, in one small sentence, taught us excellence does matter to God. Let me ask this question. If you came, you went to visit a family member's home, and you know, they're not very well off. They're kind of poor. But you walked in their home and they opened the door high and they greeted you and they brought you in and here, sit here, and they took care of everything and they go to offer you a meal and it's just veggies, just vegetables. I'm looking to see whose phone that was. Any volunteers want to tell me? Dave. Good morning. His face didn't turn nearly as red as mine would have. My phone was on earlier, and I got a call downstairs. And I panicked because it's sitting here in the front pew, and I just thinking, God, it wasn't me then. Back to veggies. You're there, and they feed you veggies. When you walk out, how would you feel? Honored. They took care of you with the best of that they have. So you went to dinner with somebody, you know, they were loaded. I mean, they had beef, they had pork, they had chicken, fresh roasted chicken. And hey, here you go. Yeah, it's on the table. Take care of yourself. And you go in there and just it's just thrown there. Hey, thanks for coming. You walk out, you go, oh, did they really want me here? It'd be kind of uncomfortable. It's not about what we have or the quality of what we have. It's about how we give it. There's a little passage found in Proverbs. It's amazing how God does this. It says, better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fattened calf with hatred. It's not about the quality. It's about the heart behind what is being given. It's a heart issue. And sometimes it's our heart that separates us from trying to strive for excellence for God. Metaphorically speaking, if all you have to offer is vegetables and you do it in the right heart, you do it with love, God will accept it as love. But you can have the greatest gift in the world, and if there's contentment, contempt in your heart, not contentment, contempt, God can reject it. Here at Miami Town, we believe God cares about excellence. We believe that God deserves the very best of whatever we have to offer. We believe that God desires our best. And we need to understand one thing. Excellence is not bringing the best to God. It's bringing your best to God. Big difference. Honor the God, honor the Lord with the wealth, with your first fruits of all your crops. God doesn't want leftovers. He wants you to bring the best that you have at all points in time. He wants you to serve him with excellence. Why should we should strive, not why, we should strive for excellence because God is worthy, worth it. He deserves our best. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. God's worth it. The God that created life, the God that created this world that we walk in, the one that scooped dirt up and breathed life into it, that God is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our honor. He's worthy of our excellence. He is worthy of our love. He's worthy of our devotion. He's worthy of worship. He's worthy of our labors. He's worthy of late nights. He's worthy of early mornings. He's worthy of sacrifice. He's worthy of us doing without. He is worthy of our excellence. Winston Churchill, Prime Minister of Great Britain, just prior to World War II, he went to address the House of Commons. And I want to share with you what he addressed them with. I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of most grievous kind. We have before us many, many months of suffering and struggles. You ask what is our policy? I say, it is to wage war by sea, by land, by air, all of our might, with all of our strength that God has given us, to wage war against a monstrous tyranny, never surpassing the darkness of human cruelty. This is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer with one word. It is victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of tyranny. Victory, however long and hard the road may be. Without victory, there is no survival. Let that be raised up. No survival for the British Empire. No survival for all that the British Empire stands for. Folks, let me tell you, without a doubt in my mind, when I read that, I hear echoing in my mind, what greater cause is there? How much more worthy is God than any empire known to man that's willing to give its blood, its sweat, its tears, its toils for than God himself? There is no greater cause than taking the gospel of Jesus Christ and sharing it with those who don't know. There is no greater cause in this entire world but to change it on behalf of God. And if we do not, there will not be survival. Do you understand that? We are living in a world that is about life and death. Those who believe in God and those who do not believe in God. And there is a distinct line between them. And when the time comes, when the earth ends and God comes again, like he tells us, when that moment happens, There'll be those who do and those who do not believe. What greater cause do we have than to change the world on behalf of our Lord Jesus Christ, to put forth the most excellent opportunities, the most excellent effort, the most excellent energy, everything we have to change the world that we live in? Because my God is worthy of that. My God's worthy of everything that I have, everything I aspire to be. My God is worthy of that. Is your God? Do you believe it? Do you believe it in such a way when I say, hey, we have something for you to do, that you say, oh, I'm sorry, I got a soccer game that day. I'm sorry, I got this. See, what I'm learning is when I look at people's lives, we believe in our hearts that God is number one, but we live as God is number or something other than number one. We live in an idea, well, I'm going to try to put God first. Don't put God first, put God always. See, we are a society busy about collecting stamps, collecting old cars, running for public office, collecting Beanie Babies, whatever it may be. We're about our kids' soccer games because they're going to get a scholarship someday. We're about reading Tom Clancy novels. We're about physical fitness and staying in shape. We're about the next challenge before us. And all these things we put in place instead of God. When we get time, we will do it. And then therefore, when we come to serve, we give God just what we have left. God has called us to give us his first fruits, that, to be excellent about everything that we do. I can tell you this, that the things of this world will pass away. The physical fit bodies that we're all striving, trying to lose the weight around the middle. I've been excited. I've lost a few pounds. This body is going to fail me. I guarantee it. It will someday give up the ghost. It will be found in the ground, rotten like the rest of them. That's a fact. Unless Jesus comes back first and I get a new body and I care about less about this one. The mountains that we admire and we go hike and climb will pass away. They'll be destroyed. Is our God worthy of our devotion, of our work, of our sacrifice, of our labors? Because he's the only one, the only thing that will last. Not us. Passage found in Colossians reads like this, as says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for man, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you serve. Did you catch that? When you get up in the morning and you're going to your place of employment, you may be a ditch digger, you may be an attorney, you could be a doctor, you could be a road striper, you could be a secretary, you could be whatever it is, a teacher. It's not the organization or the entity you work for. You work for God. Got a question. How many of you waste time at work? Go ahead, put your hand up. Don't lie to me. Let's be honest. You sit there and go, you know, you look at that computer monitor, sometimes you go, you know, and that 3 hours later, you're still staring at the computer monitor, nothing's moved, including yourself. I mean, we like to make fun of the guys working for the county. Yep, they're county workers. Oh, you recognize the pose. You ride by and there's five guys sitting on their shovel and one guy working. We make fun of them. Because you know why? They're working for the paycheck. They're working for the man. They're not working for the Lord. Do you understand the difference that God's calling us to? No matter what we are doing, we are serving the Lord. And when our mind changes and we start realizing it's not about the boss. And what he doesn't know, God always knows. He's looking over your shoulder and going, "Oh, look at you. You just cost your company $1,000 today because you didn't try to do it the best of your ability. You have made mistakes that you could have prevented if you put forth the correct effort. You've wasted their time, and you wonder why they don't have any money for raises. Look at what you're doing." Ouch. Sorry about that. Not really. See, we lose perspective, and God is concerned about excellence. What is it saying about your heart when you walk in and you work that way? It's like, I really don't care. It's all about me. I do what I want. I remember growing up, and I love athletics. And there was a rule I was taught, and I remember quoting it a gazillion times myself. It's not a foul unless you get caught. Anybody ever hear that rule? Yeah, it's not a foul. Jerry, man, that arm came up. Yeah. It's not a foul unless you get caught. And I remember when I played football, rugby, wrestled, it didn't matter that if something was going on and I knew I could get away with it, I did. Because it's not a foul unless you get caught. And you're going, "Hey, God, guess what? I'm a big cheater. Nobody knows but you, and you're not going to tell." And that might not run through your mind, but it runs through your actions. It's not excellent. It's not God-honoring. Because everything that we do is to honor God. We're supposed to strive with excellence for Him. When we do that, we're going to give quality to our work, quality to our labors. And what's going to happen next is those around us will begin to notice. They will start looking, "You know, you're not taking an hour and a half lunch break and only clocking out for an hour or a half an hour. You're doing what you say. Wow, why are you working so hard? You're making the rest of us look bad." No, I'm making God look good. They will notice because you're different. Because you're putting forth the excellence that God gave you in your labors. How will that look in your home? If you walked in your home and you said, "You know, I'm going to live for God in my home with excellence." How would the people that live inside your home feel? See, part of what Jesus did, when he talked about his attitude in Philippians 2, says we should have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. Our attitude needs to match where he is at. We need to be like-minded. It says, if you do this, if you live like I do, when you walk in that home, you're going to be a servant, and everybody else in that home is going to be more important than you. Do you think that would make a difference in your home? How about if you walked into your employment with the same attitude? How about if you walked into church? Now that would be something to see. I mean, I love y'all. It cracks me up. But I watch people walk in and they are on a mission. You know, they head to the nursery and like, "Get these kids away from me. I mean, here, watch my child." Or you watch husband and wife walk in like this, you know, when I'm talking about 400 yards apart, and you can see the steam rolling because they had a discussion on the way to church. You been there, done that? Now, I will tell you, my wife and I have never argued on the way to church. I promise you that. We've never driven together to church. So, I'm honest there. You see it when we come here. You see it in how we do things sometimes. We rush through it and we get here late. We walk in and it doesn't matter. They're just singing. I feel bad for Jason. I've heard it. I've stood in the hallway, and everybody's all, it's just the singing time. I can miss that. It don't matter. You heard Dusty this morning. Hey, you all out in the hallway, if you hear me, come on in here. We're starting in here. Because we're like, hey, I want to talk to you. I haven't seen this person in 2 days. Yeah, I want to talk to them. Church is the only time I see them, so I want to visit with them. Hello, you're here for Jesus, not them. Just telling you that. And we don't have this right attitude at times, folks. We need to make a change. If everything that we do and everything that we are striving to do with our heart, mind, and soul is be God-honoring because he's worthy of it, then maybe we need to step back and make a change. Just saying. It gives your work new purpose. See, because we work towards ourselves, and when we start working for Jesus, it changes our perspective. We get more concerned about those who are out there, and we'll see the difference that it makes, how it impacts people's life. You live a life of purpose, no longer aimlessly wandering. Got to tell you, first service, I stopped about right here, and I talked to them very specifically. Because, see, if you look at that audience, they're mostly retired, and they've been living their faith in 40, 50 years. Praise God. I said, you know what? The second service needs you. They need people that have lived faithfully for God for a long time. And they need to be able to look and say, you know, I could be like that. Even though life stinks and is kicking my tail, I could get there because they will help show me the way. They'll come alongside me and say, you need to put your arm around someone because you have dealt with horrible events in your life and tragedies, and you got through it, and now you can help them through it. So your job's not done. That second service needs you. You need to work like you're serving God. See, I get to stand here and look at all your faces, and I see some familiar ones that have come back from Florida that has faithfully served and does exactly that. They have loved all of us at different times. That's what we need to do. But you know what? I'm going to tell you the same thing. First service needs you because they have experienced the loss of spouses. Many of them live alone. They need a smile, a handshake, a hug to encourage them. That, because they're waiting for the Lord to come back. I asked them, I said, how many of you are ready to die? And almost every hand in the room went up like that. They're ready to go see Jesus right now. What a faith. What a tremendous faith. They didn't hesitate, they didn't pause. My only hesitation in that was, how? What are you talking about? You know, it's not the end place. It's the from here to there. You know, I'm not real good with that. I'm pain, not on my list. Spiders, no thanks. You know, how am I going to get there? I don't have a problem going. It's just the how. You know, they're already past that. They're like, bring it on. I'm ready no matter what it takes. They're living their life excellent, but they need you. They live a life worthy. What a difference you can make. Why should we give God our best? Because he gave his best. Simple. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Focus on that. From the very beginning of creation, God had a plan. And from the very beginning, he continued to give the best, the most excellent for us. He set up a system that we could be restored back to him. And we abused it and we destroyed it. And then he said, you know what you guys need? You need a savior above all saviors. You need a perfect lamb. And the only one worthy of that is my very son. And I'm going to give you him. Even though you don't deserve it, I'm going to give you the most excellent gift ever. And he's going to be put on a cross. He's going to die for your sins. He's going to raise from the dead on the third day so that you can be with me. And he says, it's not going to be by your efforts that you will be saved. It's going to be through his efforts. You'll be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, not by your own blood that brings salvation. The reason we should give our best, because he's already set the example of giving his best. Folks, I want to define excellence for you. Excellence is the pursuit of perfection. The perfection that only can be found in Jesus Christ. So whatever we do, whether word or deed, do it to the glory of God. Got a question for you. It's real simple. Are you living with excellence? Or are you living with mediocrity? You're just barely getting by. You're doing just what it takes. In your home, with your family, in your job, in your service to God at church, in your example to the community. Are you just getting by? Or you're striving for excellence. See, down the end of that road, when we look forward in life, Jesus is standing at the end of it. He says, guys, do it like me. Give of your best at all times. Have the same attitude. Put others first. Be willing to sacrifice whatever you must to make a difference. It may cost you. You may endure hardships. You may have difficulties in life, but do it for me because I've already done it for you. Excellence.